I'd like for you to pull up a chair and pay close and careful attention to my message today. I want us to study a subject. Now, here's the subject. Here's my subject, the title for the message. Why did Christ Jesus die on the cross? Now, everybody knows that Jesus Christ was born into this world about 2,000 years ago. He lived on this earth. And everybody knows that he died on the cross at Calvary almost 2,000 years ago. But here's the question. Why was it necessary for the Son of God to die on a cross? Now, I could give you several passages of Scripture answering that question, but I'm going to use just one. I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And Peter, in this verse of Scripture, in this general epistle to all believers, gives us an answer to this question. Why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? And here's the text, 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Holy Spirit. Now here's the gospel of redemption declared in plain words, which cannot be misunderstood. Why Jesus Christ our Lord died on the cross. Here are five answers to that question. In five parts. First of all, Peter says this. Christ hath suffered for sins. Christ hath suffered for sins. He died for sins. But he didn't die for his own sins. He had none. He died for our sins. Our sins were laid upon him. He had no sins, but he suffered for our sins. Isaiah, writing about his death, said this, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. Now, quote that verse over again, and put your name in those place of those personal pronouns. It says he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I'm healed. Put your name in that place. Now that's why he died. He suffered for sins, not for his sins. He suffered for our sins. Paul, in writing 1 Corinthians chapter 15, said this, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you have received, wherein you stand, and by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, how that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's why he died. He suffered for our sins. You know, when the Passover lamb was slain, when God was going to use Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt to the promised land, and he said, I'll pass through at midnight, and the firstborn in every home will die, except in the homes where the blood is on the door. And he told the Israelites, take a lamb, the firstling of the flock, without spot or blemish, a lamb for a house, a lamb for a house, and slay that lamb, offer it as a sacrifice, and put the blood on the door. And when I pass through at midnight in judgment upon the whole land of Egypt, and I smite the firstborn in every home, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And someone preaching on that subject said there was death in every home. In every home in Egypt, except in the home of the Israelites. where the blood was on the door. And I say this, there was death in every home. There was not any home where there was not death. The Egyptians and the Israelites. But the Egyptians, the firstborn died. In the home of the Israelites, the lamb died. But there was death. When God passed through in judgment, there was death in every home. But the death of the substitute spared the firstborn. And that's what I'm saying to you right now. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died for sins. He died for our sins. And He paid the debt. And we don't die because He died. But there's death. Sin demands death. And He suffered for our sins. Now watch this word here. He suffered for, F-O-R. Christ also suffered for our sins. In the stead of. In the place of the sinner, He died. He reconciled us unto God. The Scripture says this, He put our sins away. Put them away. Where did He put them? He separated them from us as far as the east is from the west. The Scripture says He cast them into the depths of the sea. He remembers them no more. This is a beautiful verse. He made an end of sin. He suffered for our sin. He made an end of sin. And notice this word. It says He suffered. He suffered for sins. He suffered. You know, we're not only talking about physical suffering. When I hear people preach about the death of Christ, they invariably talk about the crown of thorns. And the crown of thorns was terrible, pressing into His brow. The scourging, whipping of His back, and the nails, the awful nails in His hands and feet. But these physical sufferings, though terrible as they were, are not to be compared with His spiritual sufferings. The Scripture said He made His soul an offering for sin. Christ's suffering for our sins was from the cradle to the grave. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Our Lord suffered soul agony when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, and the Scripture said that He sweat as it were great drops of blood, and He cried unto the Father. This is before Calvary. This is before the crown of thorns, before the whip, before the nails, before the spear. He cried unto the Father, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Christ suffered. And that's what suffering for sin is. It's soul agony. It's soul suffering. Christ made His soul an offering for sin. He actually bore our hell. Why did He die? He suffered for sins. Far in the place of, in the stead of. He reconciled us to God. And He suffered. Oh, how He suffered for our sins. And we don't have to suffer because He did. And then here's another word that's most important. Christ also once suffered for sin. Once. Christ, that's who, it's the Son of God who suffered. And He suffered soul agony. And He suffered for our sins, our transgression, but suffered once. Christ also hath once suffered for sin. Hebrews 9:28 says this, For Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many. Once offered. Hebrews 10:14 says this, By one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Why did He die? In this one verse here, 1 Peter 3:18, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. All right, look at the next statement. He died the just for the unjust. He suffered for sins, and He died the just for the unjust. Now, you who are familiar with the Word of God, you've studied the Bible, you know that the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, in several places, our Savior is called the Just One. K capital J-U-S-T, the just one. That's what he's called, the just one. You know, when Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus, met God, and the Lord blinded him, and the Lord told him to go into Damascus to a street called Straight, and he would send someone to him to preach to him and tell him what to do. And he went to Damascus, and he was there some time, and a man called Ananias came to him, and this was the message. This was the message that Ananias brought to Saul of Tarsus. He said, "Brother Saul, receive thy sight." That's the first order of business. Receive thy sight. Then here's the message that he delivered. He said, "Brother Saul, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest see the just one." The just one. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the just one. In Isaiah 45:21, he said, "I am a just God. Shall not the judge of the earth do right?" Our God is a just God, a righteous God, a holy God, a God of justice. Justice. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says this. Listen to this. Have you seen this in the Scripture? Ecclesiastes 7:20. "There is not a just man on the earth." Not one. Not a just. J-U-S-T. Holy, righteous, honest, just man of integrity on the earth. There's not one on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. No, there isn't. Never has been. Not among the sons of Adam. From the time that Adam fell to this present day, there's not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But there was one. And he's called the just one. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's perfectly holy in his nature, born without sin, conceived of the Holy Ghost, born without a human father, did not partake of Adam's sin. He was holy in his life. The Heavenly Father said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." He was holy in his deeds. He went about doing good. He was holy, harmless, undefiled. God called him my righteous servant. He died, the just one, for the unjust. Why did he die on the cross? He was the just one dying for the unjust one. He died, the just one, for the unjust, that he might satisfy God's law in their stead and room and place. Romans 3:26, listen. He died, the just for the unjust, that God may be just and justify the ungodly and all who believe on Christ. In simple terms, and I go over it on this telecast and have for 20 years, over and over again, over and over again. Will you hear me? Will you hear me again? I'll say it again in simple terms. The law of God's been broken. We have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The law of God's been broken. The justice of God says sin must be punished. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Almighty God cannot be just. He cannot be holy. He cannot be righteous and set us free without our sins being paid for, without our sins being punished. But if one can be found among the sons of men, if one can be found who can be called the just one, the holy righteous one, if one can be found who can offer a ransom, if one can be found who can obey the law perfectly and satisfy God's justice, if one can be found, then God can be just and justify. If that one will take our place in our room and our stead and meet that awful law and obey it and meet that awful justice and satisfy it. And that's what he says in Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Christ hath redeemed us, delivered us, set us free from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. When Abraham was told by God to take his son up on the Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. He did just that. He took his son up there and he bound him and put him on the altar. And he was about to slay him, and God spoke and said, do the child no harm. Look behind you. And Abraham looked behind him. There was a ram caught in the thicket. And he took Isaac from off the altar and put the ram in his place. And the ram was slain and shed its blood as an offering for sin. We're the guilty ones. But God took us from off the altar of justice and holiness and righteousness and the law, and put Christ there in our stead, the perfect one who had no sins of his own. He suffered for sin, not his, but ours. He died, the just one, the holy one, for the unjust. And now God can be just and justifier, substitution, satisfaction. All right, the third reason why Christ died on the cross, he suffered for sins, our sins. He took our place. He died the just one for the unjust, that God may be just and justify folks like you and me. The price has been paid. The law's been kept. Justice has been honored. The law's been satisfied. The debt's been paid in our room instead by the just one who had no sin. Thirdly, it says here in 1 Peter 3:18, he died that he might bring us to God. He might bring us to God. You know, back in the Old Testament, when God pictured sinners coming before the Lord, coming before God, there was a tabernacle. And in that tabernacle, there was two sections. It was called the Holy Place. And in the Holy Place, there was a candlestick that gave light in the holy place. There was a showbread, 12 loaves of bread, one for each tribe of Israel. And there was the burning incense. And then there was a second veil, a thick, heavy veil, 4 or 5 inches thick from ceiling to floor, from wall to wall, a veil. And behind that veil was the Holy of Holies. That's what it was called, the Holy of Holies. And in that Holy of Holies was an ark. And in that ark was the Ten Commandments, which God gave to Moses, the law of God, which we've broken, against which we've sinned. And over that broken law, over that ark, was a mercy seat. And the Scripture says, into that Holy of Holies went the high priest alone, once a year, the high priest, a man God selected to represent God to the people and the people to God. He'd go in once a year, alone, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people. And that went on for years and years and years until Christ came, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our high priest, and he's the lamb slain. And when he died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn in two. The Holy of Holies was open. And Christ, the Scripture said, Christ being a high priest of good things to come, not by the blood of lambs, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, not the holy place made with hands, not the temple in Jerusalem, but into heaven itself, in the presence of God. He went into the presence of God and obtained for us eternal redemption. You see, every time back in Old Testament days, for millenniums, for decades and centuries, that old high priest went once a year, different ones of them went once a year into that holy place. The Shekinah glory of God dwelt over the mercy seat and made an atonement, a sacrifice over that broken law once a year until Christ came. And by one offering, he perfected forever them that are sanctified. He's our mercy seat. He's our sacrifice. He's our high priest. He's our advocate. And he went into the very presence of God and took us with him. He said, I'm the good shepherd. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must bring. Bring where? Bring to God. He suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. And therefore, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Having boldness, let us enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. That's clear from the Scripture. Isn't that clear? Our sins have separated us from God. There's no way back to God. Sin is dealt with by Christ, put away by Christ. Law is satisfied, honored, justice is satisfied, and our perfect Lord takes us to the Father. How does He take us? Well, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and able, and is able, He's able to keep you from falling, and He's able to present you faultless. Faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power now and forever. Why did He die? To bring us to God. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable in Him. Faultless. He presents us, He brings us faultless before the presence of God. And that's the only way a man can come before God is faultless. And the only way he can be faultless is not in himself, but in Christ. And that's because Christ suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. Now I want you to watch this. His death had to do with our sins. He saved His people from their sins. His death had to do with God's justice. He enabled God to be just and justified. His death had to do with the holiness of God, the holy Shekinah glory of God. We're able to come before God's presence now in Christ. But His death had to do with our death. It says here, He was put to death in the flesh. Jesus Christ died on that cross as a man. He was a man. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took on Himself the likeness of sinful flesh. He died in the flesh. In the flesh He died. All right, listen to me now. Listen carefully. One word that's always associated with the flesh is what? You say, well, sin. Well, that's true. But I'm thinking of another. Death. It's appointed unto men once to die. As in Adam, all die. By one man, sin entered this world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. So I'll tell you this, if you're a human being, you're going to die. And I'm going to die. That's one word that's associated with the flesh. It's got to die. God said, your flesh, you're made from the dust, and you're going back to the dust. All flesh will die. What's another word that is associated with the flesh? Sin, death, fear. Fear. The fear of death. The fear of death. Most older people especially know something about this. I'm afraid to die. That's what people tell me. I'm afraid to die. I'm afraid of what's out yonder and who's out yonder. I'm afraid to die. What's another word associated with flesh? Flesh, sin, death, judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die, after this, judgment. So here we are in the flesh. I in the flesh, you. We've got to die. We're afraid to die. We're afraid to die. After death is judgment. But what are we going to do about it? Nothing we can do about it, but the Lord did something about it. He died in the flesh. And when He died in the flesh, He took away the sting of death. My people, He said, don't die. They sleep. Their souls don't die. Their soul goes to God. When this tabernacle is laid aside, our body goes to the ground, but our souls to God who gave it. He took away the sting of death. He took away the fear of death. We don't fear death. Paul said to die is gain. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He took away the judgment. There is no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, and there is no judgment. So I tell you, why did he die? To put away our sins, to enable God to be just and justified, to literally bring us, sinners, holy, faultless, and present us before the holy, matchless throne of God, and to take away, annihilate, obliterate the sting of death, the fear of death, and judgment after death. No judgment. Now last, why did he die? Well, it says in the last line of this verse, but he was quickened. What's quickened? Made alive by the Spirit. Our Lord arose from the grave. He had to die to put away our sins. He had to die to satisfy justice. He had to die to conquer death and bring us to God. And he had to die that he might rise. The only people that rise from the dead are those who've died. The only people who walk out of the grave are those who've been in the grave. And so our Lord Jesus Christ died that he might be risen. And because he lives, we'll live. Preacher, what proof do you have that the dead will rise? What proof do you have that dead men will rise? There isn't but one proof. There isn't any way in this world to prove that the graves will open and men will come forth but one way. You cannot come up with secularly, politically, religiously, socially, anyway, but one proof that men will rise from the grave. Christ arose. There's no other proof. If you're going to die, which you are, and you hope to arise, you've got to believe on Christ. That's the only proof in the universe that men rise from the dead. Christ arose. That's what the, if he arose not, the dead rise not. If he did not come forth, we're false witnesses of God. If he does not live, no one's going to live. If he's not the Son of God who died on a cross and arose from the grave, we are false witnesses of God, and you're yet in your sins, and of all men, most miserable. He lives. And because he lives, we live. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he rose again according to the Scriptures.